Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Oh my. That's a standard which is far exceeding what we would ever set for ourselves. Oh my goodness, it is a measure of goodness that goes beyond human understanding and clearly must be through the divine eye, the divine perspective, the holy way of seeing. Jesus sets a teaching before us that challenges us over and over and over again. And it is a standard that invites us to go beyond ourselves and to be as God is with humankind and all of creation. Merciful and generous to the wicked and the ungrateful. Our standard is to be like God and how God has been with us, loving, forgiving, generous without expectation of return, merciful and kind to the unthankful, ungrateful, and the wicked. This challenging teaching in the Gospel of Luke is one that we've been leading up to as we've traveled through the Gospel of Luke over these last few months. And it's an important one for us to spend time with this morning and to provide a particular context. And so this morning I'd like to focus in on this, even though the theme of forgiveness is clearly the one that is the theme that travels throughout all of the readings, Joseph being the example of his tremendous gift to forgive his brothers who beat him and left him for dead, for whom he returns and saves and offers them life in the midst of death. So this morning, let's spend some time with Jesus's teaching on the plain, which, as you recall, in Matthew's gospel is actually the teaching on the mountainside. It's the same relevant story where Jesus gathers himself around with a crowd of people. But in Luke's gospel, it's not on the mountain. After calling the disciples, we're told in the narrative that Jesus comes to the plain, to the flat area, to the even ground. And a large crowd from Jerusalem, from Tyre and Sidon, from all around the surrounding area have come to hear him teach, to get closer to him, to somehow hear the words that he is speaking and perhaps touch him so that they too also might be healed. And it's important to know the group to whom Jesus is speaking, because that provides us an understanding of this teaching. Those who gathered in the crowd to hear his words and his teachings, his oxymoronic words of blessed are the poor, blessed are those who are meek, blessed are those who mourn, and woe to you in the Gospel of Luke. The crowd is filled with those who need healing, those who are seeking, most likely the poor, the outcast, those who have no status or power, and they come seeking something that Jesus has to offer. And to this community and to us, Jesus offers us this important teaching. Love your enemies. Pray for those who hate you. Pray for those who abuse you. Go beyond, because God has gone beyond for you. And not only does Jesus give these instructions, but unpacks them with some directions. And they're familiar to us. They've been taught to us through the centuries about how we are to be good people, people who are God's people. And yet they've often been taught through the lens of what it means to be Christian and what it means to be passive a passivity. But there is a perspective that is offered about these particular teachings that remind us that Jesus is talking about balancing power. By speaking on the plain, on even ground, even on the mount, everyone sat down together while they listened to his teachings. There is something, a kernel of making revolution in these teachings, not just of the Beatitudes, but of how they are to be lived out in this beyond human imagining. So I'd like to take two of these particular unpackings of the teachings and offer a perspective that comes from the biblical scholar Walter Wink. Walter Wink spent a great deal of time in South Africa exploring the teachings of Jesus in the context not of passivity, but of nonviolent resistance. He wrote some very important books, in particular around the teaching on the mount and the teaching on the plain. Violence and Nonviolence in South Africa, Jesus' Third Way in 1987, and his Engaging the Power series, 1992. You'll find them online. I commend them to you. But let me share with you two things that he does with these particular readings, specifically with verse 29. Jesus provides us with a how here, how to love our enemies, how to be good to those who hate us, how to pray for those who abuse us, how to balance the power differential, how to begin this revolution of God's grace and love in the world, compassionate mercy and forgiveness. Angela, can I ask you to help me for a moment? Would you come forward? I promise it won't hurt. As Angela makes her way forward to stand beside me for a moment, I need to give you a bit of historical context and social context in which Jesus was teaching. There are rules about fighting in the time Jesus tells this story. And there are rules about status and who can do what to whom and how they do it. So a person in a position of authority or superiority, and remember the crowd to whom Jesus is speaking, the poor, the disenfranchised, the slave. There were rules about someone who was a master who had slaves, or someone in a position of authority disciplining someone who was their inferior. Just like there are rules about fighting that we follow. And the rules about fighting were, if you were fighting with your equal, you could use your fist, you could show your palm, you could be on even ground with them. Interesting slip. You could be on even ground with them. But if you were someone in authority, the rules of fighting in the time in which Jesus is speaking about this, there were certain things you could not do to your inferior, to discipline them, to admonish them. You could only strike with the back of your hand. So, Angela, I'm going to strike with the back of my hand. You follow through with your face. And now turn the other cheek. I cannot hit her with the palm of my hand. Turning the other cheek stops the violence, even if just for a moment. Makes me stop as the superior, as the master, and think about what I'm doing. Jesus is offering a teaching here, according to Wink, that evens things out just for a moment, that balances the plane, that lets the slave look in the eye of the master, and the master to pause and think, and for the violence to stop. Thank you for helping.
Thank you.
You may go sit down. The second teaching that Jesus unwraps here also needs some social context. In Hebrew tradition, it's important. I'm going to talk about nakedness for a minute. In Hebrew tradition, if someone was to observe another person naked, They were the one who was to be embarrassed or shamed or judged, not the naked person. But to observe someone's nakedness was shameful for me. Now that gives us a whole different perspective on the pornography industry, and we could go there today, but I invite you to think about that in a different moment. But in the context of Jesus' teaching here, this next one about if someone takes your coat, give them your shirt also. Jesus is inviting his hearers to strip down and get naked. They didn't have much. They might have had a coat that they wore at night to keep themselves warm and whatever it is they wore underneath. So in saying, if someone takes your coat, give them your shirt also so that you are standing naked before them and making them pause to think about what they've taken from you as you face into the cold night and have nothing else to wear. It changes the balance. It shifts the differential. What it does is it takes this going beyond our human imagining and shifting the powers that be. Because God is merciful to us and to others, to the thankful and the unthankful, the evil and the good. And part of God's loving grace is about restoring that balance and seeing as one's restored how in small ways we might also participate in this revolution of God's love let loose in the world. So do good. Love those who hate you. Pray for those who abuse you. And find creative, interesting ways to shift the power from your faith, which has been shifted for you. Because you are loved, you have been forgiven, you have been restored, you are blessed, and you stand, sit, kneel on the plane with Jesus who saves you and lifts you up and says, be merciful in the same way that God is merciful to you. And these small actions, and yes, they are small, have tremendous impact. If you're familiar with the butterfly effect, the butterfly flaps its wings on one side of the planet, and sometime later, thousands of miles away, a great windstorm starts from that one whisper of a butterfly's wings. Small actions have huge impact in nature and in faith. And Jesus equips us with what seems like simple and risky things that will indeed change the world. No more rolling over and taking it. That's not what Jesus is preaching here. Jesus is saying, find ways in which you have been restored to wholeness to bring others to an awareness of seeing as God sees them. In balance, in grace, in mercy, in forgiveness, in hope. As the beloved of God. For this we give thanks, for this radical revolutionary Jesus. We give thanks that we have been called to follow in his way and go beyond our comfort of reciprocity and expectation of return. Because God's grace is bountiful. And the measure that we give will be the measure that is in our lap that is overflowing beyond our imagining. Thanks be to God. Amen.